Hello, I'm Kevin Peterson, and welcome to an intimate journey through Serial 9 in 2025. Today, we'll be taking on such topics as Things to Talk About by Ryan Benoit.
First of all, I just want to start by saying I'm so jazzed that we have a new intro, finally.
Wait, what's the new intro? What is it?
I don't know, Gerard, what is it?
Man. What a good
bit. We can get a new intro. We're definitely getting a new intro. We're not going to have this audio and this video.
And if we don't have a new intro, this is going to be great. Yeah, we're not going to use the same one that we've used for the last 100 episodes.
All right. So do we do the like the hello, I'm this person?
Yep. Say your name.
No, I always thought Gerard went first. No, Gerard
always first. He has always gone first.
Yeah,
I'm Gerard Di Peralta,
and I'm Kevin Peterson,
and I'm Ryan Benoit, and this is Serial Podcast 9, Episode
V2. Yeah,
yeah, it's a stage 2 tune. We got a big tune up.
We're a little tuned up. Yeah, still a couple of burbles and pops to tune out, but.
Yeah, I just want to say, I think we've done a really good run with the podcast over the last 3 months. We've been going at it every week, just steady uploading so people could stay on top of every episode.
Really grinding it out.
Yeah, that's a lie. We didn't do any of that. We just abruptly stopped. And maybe people want to know, why did we abruptly stop? And what have you been up to?
Who? Me?
I went away. I was just like, yo, I'm done with the podcast. I'm going away, going on vacation.
I didn't do anything. I was working. I don't know, 3 months. We went away. Didn't we go to Chicago? We had a podcast after that.
We've done two since Chicago, right?
No, we did one since Chicago.
We did the episode 100, and then Final Bout was 101.
Final Bout was 100. We did two. 99. It's been so long that we don't even... I love it.
Exactly.
We did episode 99, and then first one on video. And then we went to Chicago, and we came back, and we're like, hey, we got to get this all on tape. And then we did it, and then after that, we're like, yeah, all right, we're probably good for a while. And
If anybody's seen that episode, the previous episode, basically it fucking sucked. We had like 10,000 different cameras, 100 different views, and it like they stopped recording. It wasn't recording. The audio was all different. It was impossible for Ryan to edit. It was just absolute nonsense.
Yeah, it was just a giant cluster.
I think I timed myself, and it took me like 14 hours to edit the podcast or something. Like, it was ridiculous. It was way too much. So we took a break. Everyone went their own direction, went their own way on a solo career. And by that, I mean, Kevin and Gerard continued to work together and see each other most of the time. And I was just in the background somewhere, living life. Not doing car stuff. I haven't done a lot of car stuff since probably the last podcast.
I mean, honestly, we haven't really seen you yet.
You used to come by every Friday, and I haven't seen you in forever.
Well, sometimes we have beer, but that's not where... Anyway, but I haven't had anything to do, and I don't want to waste anyone's time, so I don't come to the shop, because it's a place of business, first and foremost. You guys haven't needed me for anything, so...
Oh, we need you.
Oh, okay. Good. I was also busy with family stuff. Kevin, you went away for a long time. You went on a big trip.
Yeah, went on my honeymoon.
I went to Disneyland again because that's what I do.
How many times have you been to Disneyland since the last podcast?
One.
So here's what we need. We need our editor-in-chief here to like have like a little Disneyland counter that goes up throughout the year every time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's a new year, so it's zero.
Zero. You're back to zero.
Yeah. We're back to zero. Anyway, so that's where we were. We've been away. It's been a long time since we've actually officially chatted. So people have continued to reach out with questions, and I've continued to pretend like we were going to do them. And now we're actually going to get into them. And then I tossed in a few other things that I've noticed along the way. And so I thought maybe for today we could do a few quick hitter questions, get it going again, remember how to do this.
Get the juices flowing, yeah.
Yeah. And then maybe we'll follow that up with like an update of like where everybody's at, what they're working on, plans for what's going on at Serial 9 2025. And yeah.
See what happens.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. First question. And this one is near and dear to my heart lately. Chris Klein reached out a while ago, and I doubt this trade is still on the table, but I did love it. And he wanted to know what we thought. And I'm not going to read it because I don't know where it is right now, but I wrote it down. And essentially what has happened was our dear friend Carter Jackson offered some sort of trade to Chris Klein to trade a Porsche 911 for an ISF. And Chris Klein was wondering, what's the move? Because Chris Klein has an ISF. And our friend Carter Jackson has a Porsche 911. Actually, Gerard, what type of Porsche does Carter Jackson have?
I think it's
he's got the fried egg headlight.
A 996. Yeah, I sure it does have the fried egg headlight. No.
Okay, then that's a 996. First of the liquid cooled.
But it is a Carrera. I'm pretty sure it's a.
Look at you. Look at you, Ryan. You know a lot about Porsches. You know a lot of Porsches.
The funny thing that I've realized about the podcast and our time away is like, I will just be a year and a half behind Gerard, you know, except for when it comes to BMWs. But it's like, I'm pretty sure a long time ago, Gerard went on a Porsche kick and said, like, maybe the move is a 997.2 with a PDK.
Is that what I said?
No. Maybe not. Maybe you were a 991.
I thought because I think we can get 997s now, so it would have just been any 997.
But you are big on the PDK.
Okay, with the PDK, I don't need a manual.
And that's the .2.
Oh, okay, sure, whatever. But I mean, because I don't know what year that came out. You tell me, man. But because we can get 2010s now.
Yeah, so we're in that territory, and that's the .2 territory.
All right, so fuck school me, buddy. I don't know.
That's what I say. I'm like, look at this guy.
If I'm wrong, by all means, someone reach out and correct me. I've only started looking into it. And this is why this question is very near and dear to my heart is, so if it's a 996 versus an ISF, a Carrera, so his is just, this actually makes a lot of difference. His is just like a Carrera. It's not like a 4 or
but I mean a Carrera is still better than a non-Carrera. That's still good.
Aren't they all Carreras?
Well, isn't the 4 just four-wheel drive?
Yeah, Carrera 4.
Like, is that better?
No,
like,
I guess it's better.
But then there's like the S and there's a GT and a GT2.
I mean, if we're going down that, okay, so the Carrera 4S was valuable because it was basically it had a lot of the turbo parts, but it was NA. And four-wheel drive. So that's, and it had like the wide body and stuff. So it looked better. But like, I would still prefer a rear-wheel drive Porsche over a four-wheel drive Porsche. That's
but they're
me.
All Carreras at that point. Like the entry, not the entry level, but like the lowest one you get is still a Carrera. It's like a Carrera.
So. No, I think Carrera's kind of like just fucking whatever Porsche. I thought Carrera's kind of like a, like
someone needs to look it up because we're, you know, we're not teaching anybody anything in this point.
I feel like I have, and I could be very wrong, but I think they're all Carreras at that point. And then it goes Carrera, it's like a Carrera 4. There's like the 2, the 4.
There used to be a 2, Carrera 2. There's Carrera
yeah,
2.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah. All right. Porsche 996.
Are you looking right
Carrera?
Now?
Carrera? Mm-hmm. We're all Wikipedia right now. Okay, great. If you're not watching the video, this is so fucked up for you. So it does say also
no,
called
it's just
Porsche
as fucked up as every other audio episode we ever did where we're talking about cars that are for sale and people can't see it.
Yeah, you're right. Let me describe it. It does say, so it says also called Porsche 911 and Porsche Carrera. So I do believe. It's
just
like
go down.
Even
you're not even looking.
Okay.
At it.
Okay.
Because you got to be like models.
Sure. Where do you want me to keep going?
Keep going. Yeah. I see. Hold on.
There's a Cabriolet, right which there. Is nobody wants.
The Carrera models.
Down more. GT variant. The GT headlights is the move, though. Get the clear headlights for the fried egg. Anyway. Okay. Is it I don't know. I don't like being the fat guy on cars. Oh, here, model. 911 Carrera, Carrera 4. Model, Carrera, Carrera S. Like, okay, the Carrera is the first one.
Okay.
Okay, look at me. I'm there you go. You know now the official.
Look at this now. Ryan is the guy in V2 of the podcast. We've rebooted, and Ryan is the guy with the knowledge.
Wow. Gerard occasionally still sends me stuff over Instagram, but he sends me BMW stuff. And one day I said, hey, why don't you send me some of that Porsche content? And he was just like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then stopped talking to me. So then I had to go find it myself.
Like, he's in the BMW world.
I feel like I just haven't been in the Porsche. I don't know, man. Because like I was all super into like importing Porsches from like Japan and like buying and selling them and stuff. And then just like I didn't do it. And then they kind of just like fucking flew up in price. And then I just sort of lost interest. Cause I haven't honestly bought and sold a car in probably a year or more. I don't really know why. And it honestly kind of sucks. Cause I love doing it. And B, like, you know, it's a little bit of side cash. And like, but I've just been so sort of tied up with like the Blit and then the E90 and like the business. And like, we just did a home reno and like all these other things. And like, yeah, but I didn't do a Porsche, so then I just didn't do anything.
So would you trade the Porsche, though, that you don't have?
Not myself.
For the ISF?
No, I would not.
So a 996 for an ISF, what would you take? What do you think? They're honestly also, pretty close in value-ish, depending, like if it's just a Carrera.
No. I think there's any Porsche is still like decent money. Even a shitty Boxster is probably 15K.
But what do you think an ISF is?
An ISF is still 20. Yeah, 30, and I feel like a 996 is probably 30 to 35 with that many kilometers on it.
I don't know what condition his is in.
And like, if the IMS, like, I'm only learning this stuff now.
Yeah, the bearing.
I assume with the amount, the bearing, and all that other stuff that you have to deal with on that gen isn't addressed. Also, 996, until now, was considered one of the least desirable 911s.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, it does have, it's kind of starting to get its shine, but probably because it's just a little bit more affordable than the other ones. I don't think the gap is so far in the economics of it.
Also, it depends on what you want. If it's a primary vehicle, an ISF makes a lot more sense. But in my world, the ISF is kind of so small that, like, the Porsche interior and the ISF interior are, like, probably on par space-wise. You can't fit shit in the back seats of an ISF, and like the Carrera, the Porsche has rear seats, which you also can't fit shit in.
It's easier to put shit in the back seat though. You just open that door. You can roll down four windows and stunt, you know.
But I mean, at the end of the day, if you do four mods to the Porsche and four mods to the ISF, the Porsche is infinitely cooler, like looking at least, and probably funner to drive than any
more
ISF.
Fun to drive. Okay,
yes, you're right.
More I'm gonna to actually. Wager that the interior of the ISF is nicer than the interior of a 996.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
That is a big complaint that people have. Now, so you're still going to take the 996.
Yep.
Kevin?
But that's because I don't need a daily car. If I needed a daily car, I would take the ISF hands down.
I feel like you could use a daily car.
Yeah, you keep talking all the time about a daily car.
Yeah, you I have absolutely.
Daily car. I have two daily cars. One just doesn't run.
What is your daily car?
I have three daily cars. One, two.
What are they?
Yeah. Okay, right now I have the JZX 110 Mark II Blit. I've literally been driving it every single day, an hour and a
Beautiful.
Half. The E90 is sort of working again. It needs an exhaust. And then I have the truck, which needs a subframe.
So you have one daily.
Currently one daily.
That's the car you drifted at Final Bout and have driven every day since.
Exactly.
Yeah. I feel like for you, the move would actually be the ISF, but
get a daily. Yeah.
I respect the move to take the 996. Yeah,
that's a car guy move right there.
Yeah. Also, I would have to take, I don't know much about Carter's car, so I don't know which if it's a dot one or a dot two of the 996. I don't know that.
But also myself, I could do the IMS bearing, so that's not an issue for me. I could do the IMS bearing, and then the card be not. It would definitely be more valuable and more. I think I could sell a Porsche for more than an ISF, personally.
I assume the with the
amount. You'd start driving it, and then you'd never want to sell it. We know who you are.
I would always. I'd still sell. I'd sell always probably anything.
No, remember you had those BMWs. You were like brokenhearted. You had to sell them. You're like, oh, you know, like I don't want to sell it. Like,
All right. I was just going to say, I imagine the IMS bearing has been done on Carter's car with the amount of kilometers or miles it has on it.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Okay. Kevin?
Yeah.
Porsche 911, a 996, or an ISF?
I mean, it'd be pretty off-brand for me to say that I go with the Porsche. Huh? But
I know, that's why you're here.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I don't know. I'd be down with an ISF. ISF feels like a good progression. But also, like, you know, maybe sometimes it's fun to like step out the mold a bit and try something new, you know? Like,
you've never stepped out of the fucking mold. What are you talking? Like, literally not a single car you've owned except for the G35 that I pretty much broke your arm to buy. Like, just not even a chance. Everything you buy is either a Toyota or a Toyota derivative. Like, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, man, I had that Toyota brand loyalty.
Yeah, Toyota-thon. They did it right.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, for me, the Toyota, like, has to redeem itself in order for me to, like, be so into it. Like, the other, like, today I was talking to Cameron, like, yeah, man, like, sometimes I'm surprised when I fire up my Blit and, like, I'm looking underneath and it, like, kind of looks fucked up. And it just drives every single day. It just drives. Like, it, like, just literally... Even if there's something wrong with it, it still just drives. Whereas, like, the BMW, you look at it wrong, and it's, like, engine light, like, doesn't start, doesn't run, bucking, hesitating, like, you know, like, puking water. Like, whatever the fuck it's doing something that just makes it not usable. Whereas the Toyota's like, oh, I'm overheating, still running. Can't start, push start it, still running. Like, broken suspension, keep going. Like, but yeah, like, that's, I guess the excitement is... the detracting factor, but the reliability is like the, you know, yeah, that's what
holds it up. As a guy that needs a daily, this sounds great for you.
The reliability yeah, it's is not, exciting.
Also, it's all fucking make-believe for me. None of this is going to happen. Like, well, maybe one of them, but well, anyway. It's a thing that I thought a lot about. I was like, oh, at first I really didn't like the 996, and then I came around to it. I think it has some redeeming redeeming qualities that you could get around. I told my wife I was like, oh, I've really been into Porsches lately, and she's was just kind of like, is this like your midlife crisis? And my thought was, yeah, look at the car that I choose now. And I was like, a 996 is way more reserved than the Aristo.
I would, like, say the 996 is more practical than the Aristo too, to be
oh
honest.
Yeah, just
100%.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this car is just fun to drive right out of the box.
Probably. And you would just go to coffee with all these other coffee drinking assholes, because that's what they do. Whereas, like, if you go to a meet that's like into Aristos, they're like trading Pokemon cards or some shit. You know what I mean?
I've never been.
Way to burn your customer base.
It's the fucking truth.
No, those are GS owners. They're way different. Okay, so it feels like we're kind of actually split on this. Porsche is. I think any Porsche 911 is a solid choice. I don't know if there's one that you'd say no to.
Yeah.
But there is something exciting about the Toyota has reliability. ISF is probably one of the better cars that Lexus and more exciting cars that Lexus has built.
Yeah, for sure.
If push comes to shove, I'd probably take in the ISF in that situation. Now, 99.
Is that familiarity thing though? Because, like, you know, maybe. Like it's a guaranteed win.
Yes.
Regardless, like the only thing you'll be facing is a slight bit of disappointment of, like, you know, like it's not a Porsche, but like it's a guaranteed win as far as reliability. You know, it's pretty fast. You know everything about it. It's familiar. It's reliable.
I also don't want to do a podcast with other Porsche guys. So, I mean, having the ISF is probably the better move. What would this be about? It'd just be me being like, I have a 9/11. I think you guys would be talking about other things. I'd be a dick. It'd go right to my head.
You'd just get T-37s and you'd fit right in. T-37s and the fucking OMP steering wheel.
Meisters, oh, yeah, yeah. Get a wood grain Nardi in there, buddy.
Yay. Okay.
So, yeah, last thing I was going to say is I just can't get down with the looks of an ISF. Like, in its ultimate form looks, it'll never be that much better than it looks stock.
Honestly, like, yeah, I don't really love the look of the ISF. Like, I think that, like, the GSF is, like, a better-looking car.
ISF, let's say, starts at, like, in my world, like, a 4. Ends, no matter what you do to it, to me, it ends at, like a fucking 6. Maybe a 7. At very most, it's a 7. And the Porsche probably starts at, like, let's say the Porsche starts at a 4, but it could be, like, a 9. You know what I mean? Or like looks wise, it could be a 9 or a 10.
They do have a lot of 9s in their numbers.
Because like a Porsche looks like a Porsche. Like if you add the fenders and you add the wing and you add this and you add that, like you could make a piece of shit 996 look like a GT3 Carrera Super Duper RWB, whatever the fuck you want, you can do it. But like you can't do that to an ISF. It's always just.
You can make a Fiero look like an F40 too.
Wow.
Yeah, but I'm saying a Porsche is still a Porsche. A Fiero's not a Ferrari. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah.
I think I read something and it was like the 996, whatever you get for a Porsche for a 911, is just your first, like whatever your first Porsche is, isn't your last. You just continue. It's like you get one and then you're like moving on. You're trying to figure out ways to move on to the next.
I mean, how many Toyotas have you had?
Me? I've had 2 Toyotas.
Yeah. How many Toyotas have you had, Kevin?
You've had 5. You've had 5 Toyotas.
Let's run it.
Yeah.
Let's.
You had the Celsior. You had the Celsior, the Aristo, the Corolla, the 4Runner, and the Prius.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, man. And yeah, that's a lot.
And that's Ryan. He's like, barely a car guy.
And I had. Get out of here. Shut up.
I just mean like you're not like assembling engines and like buying and selling cars. You know, you're not like Kevin or me or like
you're the only Eric. 2 yous that I know. And Eric.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong.
You don't know who I know. What about
Carter? Carter is like that.
Carter's not assembling engines.
Carter just bought a Crown to sell. That like
I know, but I'm just saying like Carter's like, not I mean Eric Carter's and flipping Kevin cars and
stuff all the time.
Yeah. They're not assembling engines either. No. Okay, the engines was too far. I just spent like
I haven't put an engine.
Like, have you taken an engine out or put an engine in? I think that's like the next level. You know what I mean?
You
like,
just unbolt a bunch of things.
Still a lot of bolts.
Yeah, bolts are bolts.
You cut some injector wires and you're good to go. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey man, I'm trying to increase fuel economy by 20%.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and it's kind of in line with what you were saying. So Gerard's. As much as he kind of just shit-talked ISFs, still sends me links to buy ISFs, so I don't...
That's because I know you like them, and I think it's a better move for you than the fucking GS. The Risto.
Not a GS!
I mentioned this to someone the other day. I said, I do really like the ISF, but my one struggle with the ISF is whenever I go to look for, like, ISF inspiration, you know, like, what's cool in ISFs out there?
You're done.
There isn't.
Done.
And then the person I was talking to was like, well, that's just because it's driven by these like rich dudes that don't have any style. And
ISF's
like,
driven by rich dudes? The fuck out of here. No.
Well, well-to-do. I mean, at one point it must have been driven by well-to-do.
When they were new.
Yeah.
I mean, still, like, there's not a lot. There's not scum of the earth driving ISFs. Still like a $20,000 car.
But it's also still a 15-year-old car, man.
No. I get that. But that's what I'm saying. It's 15 years old and 20,000. When the Celsior was 15 years old and I got it, it was 600. Yeah. You know? So I could be a scumbag and have that Celsior.
Yeah. We're going to put a pin in that. We're going to move on because that was meant to be a quick hitter and it was the longest. Okay. That was a long inning. Okay. Next question. Nissan Honda merger.
Yeah.
Are you guys following any of this?
No comment, no idea, not really concerned. Like,
but you love Nissan.
I know, but like, what's going to happen is what's going to happen. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, like, if I pay attention to it, is it going to be better or worse? Am I going to care? Like, they're going to release a car. I'm going to like it or not like it. It's not going to be, I have no control over it. So I don't, you know.
Man, how did I become more opinionated than you? This is wild.
Okay, I just got way too much shit going on.
That's an excellent take. That's what I mean. I feel like you guys have switched personas in this role.
Yeah, yeah, it's like now I'm telling you about Porsche 911s, and you're being like, whatever will be, kumbaya. Oh, maybe you're not a real car guy, Jerry. Okay, at the very least, so there's Nissan almost went under. They almost went bankrupt.
Like multiple times.
Yeah, and this last time. And so there's a lot of speculation, you know, why is this merger happening? Even they, like, the CEO or president or whatever of Honda was kind of like, I can't even really answer that, to paraphrase.
Honda or so Nissan? It's
Honda. Oh, Nissan's fucking jazzed as they're shit. Like,
yeah.
Because they get to keep living.
I mean, Nissan has some interesting tech. They have that, like, variable compression motor and some other cool stuff.
I mean, honestly, like, yeah.
But I mean, talk windows about Nissan, for Jerry.
Like, they were, like, the first to introduce, like, all those safety suites, man. Like, they had 360 cameras and, like, fucking 2007 or some shit. Like, it's like a lot of that type of stuff, like lane keep or lane whatever.
I mean, didn't help them fucking as a company.
That's what I was thinking. Didn't help them today.
Yeah, you know.
Tell that to the Altima with no bumper on the highway.
I will say that, like, Honda always makes great stuff. Honda always makes great engines. Nissan makes exciting cars. I'm used to. I don't know, like, what's exciting. Like, I mean, the 400Z or whatever the new, that's like, so if you merge those two, I'm more excited that they're merging with Honda than Citroen or whoever, Renault, that bought them before. Or like, if they bought by Kia or something.
And
shit,
yeah, that's the other thing. Like, every car company has got, like, their finger in every other car company. Yeah. So, like, who really gives a shit anyway? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I get it. Look, the Honda-Nissan merger is a little bit out of our realm of, like, interest or care, but it's big news in the world. Mm-hmm. So to bring it back to things that we care about, what would actually make you excited about it? Like, what type of car would they have to build for you to be like, that's it, they fucking got it? What would you be in on?
4-cylinder, turbocharged, rear-wheel drive. Like mid price, basically, like the 400. I mean, I think the 400 is a perfect car, but like,
I feel like you just described an S chassis, though, is what you actually described.
I want them to make like a Honda SEMA, you know?
What?
I want like a Honda SEMA.
A sedan?
Yeah, like I want like a rear wheel drive, like Honda sedan.
Man, Jerry, you have turned into me, and then we have just taken on your mantle of chasing sedans. And you just asked for an S chassis.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be sick.
It's not a bad. I'm just joking.
Well, I mean, they're not going to make a fucking rear wheel drive sedan. That's just like, I don't even want to dream.
They
about
might
that
because no, they're not going to. But why?
They never have. Why would they start now?
Yeah, that's what I mean. They haven't.
And sedans are on the way out.
And Nissan hasn't made a sedan in decades.
It's all crossovers.
No, I meant a rear-wheel drive sedan. Like, yeah, they make the Altima, they make the Maxima, they make
the Infinities?
All of the Infinities, yes, but like...
Well, that's a lot of cars.
Well, that is a fair amount of cars.
But do they make a sedan now? Do they make a Q?
Well, no, they don't make shit. They're going out of business.
No, but I mean, like, dude, Infiniti's dead. Infiniti's absolutely dead. Like, the Infiniti pulled out of Australia.
I do wonder if they would actually be like, hey, Honda's got the front-wheel drive shit on lock. We got good engines. We have plants in Europe where we can manufacture more cars. Why don't you continue to do what was good for you? And, like, maybe it is a rear-wheel drive, more of that, like, Infiniti stuff. That end of the day, I think I would probably rather have an Infiniti than an Acura.
Oh, absolutely.
And maybe there's something to that.
Yeah, I guess you're right. The Infiniti line is all rear-wheel drive sedans.
I mean, I don't know. I'm down with the NSX. You know what I mean?
But are you, though?
But that's what I'm saying. If they had, like, all of a sudden there's a car that comes in under the NSX that's, like, a rear-wheel drive sports sedan or some shit,
So, I mean, yeah, like to kind of shit on you guys, it's like they already make all those cars. No, but like you're talking about like a sedan, it's like.
No, I'm saying I want a Honda to make that.
What would make that? What would make it a Honda?
A reliable engine. Reliability.
What's okay? What's not reliable about the Nissans? You know how many fucking VQs are on marketplace at 350,000 kilometers? That's pretty reliable, man.
Yeah, and they're time to sell it. If that was a Toyota, you'd be like, "Yo, this is just broken in. It's brand new."
But we're not talking about Toyota. We're talking about Honda.
I feel like Honda's more reliable than.
I would Nissan. Say Honda's more reliable than Nissan for sure.
Yeah, Jerry.
I bet you we could Jerry. Pull like that. That's a quantifiable thing we could pull up.
But also, the level of car is different.
That's why it's sick, and they should make a rear-wheel drive sedan.
The Chinese are also like moving in, right? Like with all their EV tech and stuff like that. We don't get it, but everywhere else, and it's really hard to compete with that. So I think probably what you're I don't know anything about this, but it feels like it's more of a consolidation of power to protect. Two Japanese entities. You have people that Toyota has worked with other manufacturers to great success. Toyota is the number one car manufacturer now, I think.
I think it's because they also own a bunch of other shit. Toyota owns like a lot of companies.
It's because Toyota's the best.
My Toyota stock's not doing great though, you know? I mean, it's chugging along, going up a bit, but like...
Well, if we all get that ISF, it will be. No, okay.
Right? That's what I'm, what I'm working towards.
Okay. So realistically, what would make any of us excited is if they built a thing that we already like.
Yeah, a new version of something we already like. Yeah,
we're very exciting people. Okay, well, Jerry, I'll give you one last rebuttal.
I think they both make their own respective exciting vehicles. Like all the latest Nissans that came out, and I mean even the Infinities that were like the Qs or whatever. I think they're pretty exciting. The GTR is pretty exciting. The new Zed was pretty exciting. And then all the new Hondas are super exciting. They got the Type Rs and the whatever, all that shit. That's all pretty dope. Like Honda does front wheel drive really well. Nissan does like sports car-esque cars really well. So I think they're good.
Quick Windows. Someone messaged me to remind me how much you love the speed of the Windows and Nissans. like literally like 3 days ago, I got a message about it. Okay, that is great. So we're going to put a pin in that. Speaking of new cars coming out and new tech, this one's for you, Jerry. This has been cherry-picked just for you. The new BMW M3.
Oof. New? Oh, it's like a hybrid or some shit? Well, I don't know anything about it.
Apparently an electric one.
Yeah, that's the thing is that's why the last M3 was so nuts because they said this is the last internal combustion M3 that we're gonna make. So the new M apparently is all electric.
How so do you feel I don't about know that?
All electric, eh?
Yeah, that's what they said. I don't know. I literally don't know anything about it, but I will say. You know the X, is it the XM, the new that crazy new thing? It's like kind of ugly, but also kind of nuts. It's got like the hexagon LED headliner and shit, and it looks like it's out of like 2030. Has like 22 inch wheels.
Yeah, come on, okay, sorry.
I guess. But yeah, it has like 22 inch wheels stock and stuff. Anyways, I saw one recently. I think it was in Russia, and it was because I thought that was all electric. Maybe I was tripping, but it said something like it had 1500 horsepower and I watched a video of it and I was like, oh, that's sick. It makes me happy again that like you can still mob these brand new cars and like they're like ridiculous. Because honestly, the new M5 and the new M3, they're nuts, man. Like they're...
So you're excited is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, right now I think is like an absolutely awesome era of automotive, especially for those cars. Like those cars are nuts, man. Like 1,000 horsepower capability with like a relatively stock-ish car is insane. Is insane. But yeah, the new electric, I don't know. Electric's crazy, but I mean, I guess we're not getting away. Like, not that we're not getting away from it, but like, there's always going to be a place in my heart for an internal combustion engine. You know what I mean? Like, but there's no denying that electric cars are ridiculous. It's like,
just to stop you real quick, the next time you're like, internal combustion still has a place in my heart, you should be like, ICE still has a place in my heart. You know? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. ICE. Okay. ICE. I got an icy heart. Yeah. All right. Okay. So you're okay. It does feel like most electric cars are still being built, and that's going to be a thing. It does feel like the shift is actually more to hybrid right now, because the electric market is kind of hard. It's only really for people that are well to do, and we're, you know,
the subsidies have dried up, so now
so the Prius is really in style now. No, anyway, but
those Tesla people are high-fiving me now.
I think you're going to see a lot of cool stuff come from the hybrid tech with all the stuff that people are doing, combining and strapping electric motors to things. But
well, I mean, even all the hypercars are hybrids now.
Yeah.
Like Ferrari, like a Ferrari's a hybrid, for fuck's sakes. Like, okay, cool. You know, like all the McLarens, hybrid.
Yeah, because it makes the most sense for performance.
Which is pretty fucking wild, but that's not for me. Because you know what I'm about? 15-year-old Japanese import. Good thing I finished that sentence, or we'd all be going to jail. Anyway, okay. Canada. Well,
what are you importing?
Well, here's the thing. What can we import? Jerry, I know you're a strong advocate of the 15-year import rule for Canada. 100%. We got 2025 on deck. So that puts us at what year that we can import from? 2010?
10.
So what is on deck for us this year coming from Japan?
I mean, we've had the LCI E90s for 1.5 years now, so that's cool. But I mean, at least you have more choices, so you can get all the late model E90 stuff. So that's kind of cool. The V36 3.7 liter was legal last year, but I mean, now you have more choices because we've been looking at importing like a Skyline V36 sedan. So there's more choices in those. They're not easy to find in, like, but they have some cool specs in Japan that we don't have here. They have like the, it's called a 370 GT P spec, which is like, basically just means it's like the top spec. So there's those, but I mean, Mercedes. Oh, Eric sent me, actually, I don't think so. It was just a facelifted one. W20, I don't know. I don't know my Mercedes very well in that era, and like, I don't really care. I don't think I'd ever own a Mercedes from that era unless somebody gave me one, or unless I had just so much money that I was collecting cars. All the other Nissans, a lot of 350Zs, 370Zs are coming.
Yeah. They 370Zs were, are now, I believe.
Yeah, so now I can get 370Z JDM. A lot of GTRs. GTRs are still expensive, but you can get GTRs.
Yeah. I feel like this has turned into me quizzing you. And
yeah, but that's fine.
I shouldn't have done that. No, it shouldn't have been that. I'm looking at a
list. Are you leading him? Are you are you waiting for a specific answer that you're waiting
for? No, I'm not. I was just like kind of like, what are you excited about? Like, is there any of these cars that are exciting for you that you would actually be like on your list, like of things that you're looking at or things that you have the ability to look forward to?
I mean,
RX-8s, Type Rs.
Absolutely not. Neither.
Evo 10s, ISF, Fairlady 370Z, as you said. Honda CRZs, not the worst idea. Nope. There's Crown Athlete.
That could be for you, buddy.
Nope. None of the Toyotas excite me. Not a Lexus, not a fucking Crown. None of those excite me.
Well, tell that to your most reliable daily driver. Anyway. Okay, how about Alphard?
The funny thing is, actually, that's true. So one of the things I'm most excited about in the Toyota world are the Alphards. So we got them last year, the 2008, the 20, the A, whatever model, the 20, so the second gen. Velfires became legal last year, so now we have more choices of Velfires, which is sick. Like, literally, there are so many here. There are so many Velfires here.
There's a lot of that.
It's cool. Like, I mean, yeah, Gordon has one. It's pretty sick. I rode in it and, like, rode around. And then Felix came to pick up the High Ace, and his buddy had a Velfire, and he wanted to do air in it and stuff. And it's, like, pretty nice. It was a top spec, like, V6. The only thing it didn't have was all-wheel drive. Nice van. I would have one. That's a Toyota I would own, is a Velfire, 100%. Because that's the thing. It's like, still to this day, it feels like we should build one like a Japan-style crazy van. Because, like, there's, like, this van culture in North America. And, I mean, I guess I can elaborate on it further. Like, I posted a G37 coupe yesterday. We can go into that a little bit later. But, yeah, somehow the American van scene still just, like, is not anywhere even remotely close to the Japanese van scene. Like, I feel like I could build a super sick van so easily, but, like, somehow Americans, I don't know, they don't want to. They don't like that style, that look. I don't know what it is, but, like, I haven't seen one exciting American van or, like, North American van.
Okay, so you're excited about a van. Kevin, is there anything that you're excited about that's become legal?
Not really.
I thought you liked the Crown.
Like the 200?
Yeah.
200's already legal, but like, yeah, I mean, it's cool, maybe.
It's about as exciting as falling on your knee and getting
a
small
car. I like the 18 more, honestly, than the 200, I feel.
Like, tell me what's exciting about a 200 Crown. Literally, what's exciting about a 200 Crown? It's rear-wheel drive. It's a Toyota. What else?
It's a nice, luxurious sedan that's reliable. It looks kind of sick.
Is that what's
exciting?
There's a
gajillion of them, so they're cheap as fuck. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
You can throw it at a wall and not care.
But you can't throw it at a wall. What are you going to do? How are you going to throw it at a wall?
Oh, my boy Kevin will find a way to throw it at him. Yeah. You ain't see it. You don't remember who you're talking to?
Yeah, cut right now in the podcast to me.
Like, if I had to buy a sedan, I would... Like a big equivalent sedan that would be, you know, I would dump and put big wheels on it and just cruise around like VIP-ish or whatever.
Yeah, that's your recipe, though. That's how you cook when we're like, let Jerry cook. You know, we're like, Jerry, build the Kaido
race.
But
no, that's not true.
I'm going to put big wheels on it and like, fuck it.
But it has to be fast. A big part of the recipe is it has to be fast and actually kind of exciting.
I agree with you. You're not wrong. I like your recipe. You're like Colonel Sanders, okay? I'm not disputing your recipe.
Motherfucker makes delicious chicken nuggets. Yeah.
Finger licking good.
Example, if you were literally just to take a Fuga instead of a Crown, so a Fuga you can either get with the 3.7 VQ or a fucking V8, 5.6 V8, 5.6 V8 is pretty damn cool. The thing makes 400 horsepower. But then you can, okay, say you get the peasant model, quote unquote, which is the 3.7. That already has 300 horsepower stock. And then you just go get like a Nissetune or whatever, and then you can have a 400 or 350 horsepower flame tune VIP car. Like, that's way cooler than Toyota, like, that looks cool.
Okay, so Jerry's looking forward to a Fuga. Kevin doesn't give a shit about what's happening.
Yeah, I got my own shit going on.
He's got his own thing. I'm looking to the future. Apparently, I'm just really into Porsches and possibly ISFs. That's where we are as a people, and I can appreciate that. Moving forward, we're putting a pin in this. Okay. Now, if that is not interesting to you, if the new things, what are you kind of mulling around in your head about your next car? What's your next car? You're thinking about it.
I feel like I already have my next car.
Yeah, they're all on deck. They're all mid build.
Yeah, exactly. I got like the Crown is really close to being to a spot where there's nothing really I more would want to do to it, kind of thing. I don't know. We'll see what happens when I get to that point that says that and see where that happens. But yeah, I just really want to I want to drive the GS more. I want to enjoy the GS more. I'd like to do different iterations of the GS so that I can enjoy it more. And then I have a new project for the K-Series. So that is where I need to focus my attention. And then I have like a long-term project that has nothing to do with Serial 9 that I'm trying not to put any attention into. So but between all of that, and I have the fire truck, between all of that, I don't really think I need to be thinking or putting any other cars, projects, or anything on my radar Yeah, I'm thinking. I think I might sell my scooter because I don't really ride it that much. It's, you know, I have an entire spare scooter, so it's like it's just taking up so much space. I'm in a big whole thing about paring down right now, trying to like clear out the shop, make room for production. Money? Yeah, make room for the company to like grow rather than us just have a bunch of our stupid toys at the shop.
Yeah.
You're all very responsible. Well, by all, I mean Kevin so far. Gerard, are you still responsible or do you got something spicy that you're ready to... What's on deck?
I mean...
What are you mulling over?
The funny thing I want to say is that, yeah, I drove fine about in the Blit and then just continued to drive the Blit. So like now at 48 years old, my daily driver is like basically like kind of a race car. But it just happens to be a wagon. So like sometimes being forced into things is kind of good. Like, you know, I obviously think for the company to use the parts every day is like the best thing ever. They use the parts all the time, use the parts, you know, driving on the street, driving on the track as much as you possibly can, as if you, you know, whatever. But in our world, it's just not totally practical. And previously, historically, I would just have like a normal ass daily driver. Like I just drive the truck, or I just, like a lot of people are like that. You have your cool car and then you have your like the car that isn't really you, but that's the car that you just use every day because maybe you can't drive a you car every day.
That was anyways, me driving the Prius.
Yeah, exactly.
We got it.
Yeah. Thanks. So anyways, I was
great work.
Essentially,
trying to make use of the video.
Essentially forced to drive my U car every day. But I mean, the only reason I didn't drive the U car every day is because I was sort of scared about like cops and all that stuff, or like whatever it may be. But like, the more you drive it, the less you care. And then the more you encounter cops, the less you care. And like, the fact is, like, I literally drive it around with the stickers on it and like the same height as Final Bout, and with the fitment, the camber, everything. And then nobody ever cared. So then I just stopped caring. So now I just treat it as a normal car. And I absolutely love the fact. So I've like basically not fallen in love with the car again, but like deepened my love for the car, because it's been probably my longest standing car. I've driven it the most on the street. I have drifted it here and there. It's been in a bunch of different iterations. So truthfully, I just want to like build the Blit crazier and finish my other two cars.
Huh. Well, all right. It definitely feels like we've all spent a lot of time apart. And by that, I mean, I haven't spent a lot of time with either of you. And now I'm the dumb one. So that's great. I like that. I'm over here being like, what does a Porsche 911 look like? I can't afford it, but I still think about it.
But yeah, I feel like Gerard and I maybe like, you know, we already have these projects that aren't finished yet or are, you know. And it's like,
yeah.
I will say that's still a change from both of you a year ago or 2 years ago. It was kind of like, what's in the, you know, what's on marketplace? What's happening? You know, anyway, sorry.
I mean, I feel like a year or two ago, I like still had the Alteza. The Crown was going to be my next project, you know, and like,
yeah.
Also, I bought and sold cars a lot. About a year ago or whatever, probably more than a year ago, but yeah, I still like doing that and I still whatever, but like there's something to be said about me driving the Blit every day, and then it's become such a thing where like everybody just accepts it. Like my wife doesn't love the fact that I drive like a 25-year-old basically and I bring my kids in it. I bring my kids in it like almost every day or whatever, but like everyone's just accepted it. Like my mother-in-law, like I show up and the car scrapes on her driveway and it's got stickers and it's super loud, but she's just like, you're driving that in the winter? I'm like, yeah, I just got snow tires for it and I raised it up 10 mils. So she's like, sure, whatever. Like,
yeah, just shakes her head.
Check out my Instagram follower.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know who I am?
Out of the friend group, I'm the oldest one, but I have the most ridiculous car and I'm driving it through the winter.
I'm the Colonel Sanders of my friend group. Okay, sorry. I think that's great. It's just fun to see how much things have changed since the last time I feel like we've all spoken. Obviously the 100 still gets done, but that was originally going to be the Final Bout car. Now the Blit is your daily. It was the Final Bout car, and that is a very cool progression to see along the way. And you are right. You're driving this car all the time. It's super sick. It's cool that you can do that and still find a way to work that into your everyday life. And Kevin, with the projects and the GS, I feel like it's been almost a year since you've had the GS. Is that right?
Really? Damn.
I think so. I mean, I drove it in the snow.
Wow. Damn. Time flies. I've had the 100 for almost 2 years. So, like, sick project, bro. Like, that needs to get done.
And I forgot that was a car until right now.
Yeah. It's like 70%, like 65% done.
All right. Let's put a pin in that. We'll come back to that. Because that is great. I'm excited to see what you do with that car. I'm just going to say right now, very hard probably for me to like it more than I like the Blit. But that's just me. Okay.
I can appreciate the fact that like it's going to be nuts. Like
the 100,
like the Blit is still like fully a street car, whereas like the 100 is like everything is turned up, you know?
Yeah. It's like almost to the point where I should just put that cage in.
Yeah. Like now that you don't have to, like, you're not trying to get it done for final boat or whatever. Like,
yeah, exactly. You should. I just want it to have interior though. That's kind of the thing is I want it to have
put the interior around the cage.
Yeah. That's always kind of shitty though. But yeah. Then you fucking ruin the dashboard and stuff.
All right.
Anyways, yeah. Anyway.
Okay. My answer to the question, I think, is very obvious. I just look at ISFs and Porsches. That's for some reason.
I think you should get the ISF. I kind of agree. Looks like an ISF.
Listen, I would still like to see what the Aristo's like with the turbo in it, but that's whatever. We're not there.
I was going to say, like, if you were, I was looking at the stuff on today, and I was going to be like, oh, Ryan's coming on Friday. I should see if Buddy can come by and we could like do the intercooler. And then I was like, oh, well, Ryan's just going to obviously come in the Prius though.
I cannot come in the Prius, but yeah, anyway.
But that's also tomorrow, isn't it? That's tomorrow. So it's,
oh yeah, that is the thing. Oh yeah, yeah.
Just bring the Prius.
I mean, honestly, you should just leave the Aristo at the shop. Like, especially once we, you know what I mean?
We don't have a ton of space, but yeah.
Let's put a pin in that. I do want to try the car with another turbo, and then maybe I have been, I don't know. There's a lot going on in my head that we don't need to get into. Okay. So we talked about what cars are becoming illegal. We don't give a shit because we live in our time. Jerry likes BMWs. Everyone's very content with what they have, except for apparently me, which is very different than every other podcast we've ever done.
That's why it's V2.
It is V2. I'm the wild card now. Exactly. I like it. I'm the captain. Okay. What are some current cars that are out now, we'll say in our sphere of things that we enjoy, the Venn diagram of who we are as people, that you would foresee becoming future classics?
Oh, the old future classics question, hey?
The old real contradiction, because a future and a classic can't go together. But like something that people will,
like, are the 90s cars already the classics, or what?
Oh yeah, 90s cars are fully classics.
Yeah, like, I would say like an S13 is a classic now. Like that, yeah, it's like ingrained a Mark IV in the culture.
Supra is a classic.
Classic.
Oh, R34 is a classic.
Sure. Any FD, Skyline FD, is a classic.
FD is a classic.
Classic.
That's the thing. It's like, I feel like the NSX. Next generation, there's not those cars that you yearn for. Oh, like that.
Absolutely there are.
Okay. New, like I'll just name a few and then you say it. Okay, new Supra.
Maybe.
The thing is, why I don't understand why they don't come out with like a dope model of it. Like they're all. Yeah. I think it's going to become a classic for sure. It was the first.
I mean, they're the GR.
Yeah. Okay. It's the first of that. It's the first like of its kind. So yeah, 100%. It's gonna be a classic. 100%.
Okay. All right. BRZ FRS FR or 86, whatever you want to call it.
I think they're gonna become classics like 510s and 210s and stuff like that. Like they are, but it's not like a Z. Like, you know how like there's the, like, for example, like the S30Z is like a, that's like a halo car. Whereas like the 510 is like,
I almost feel like the IS300 Alteza will be more of a classic than the BRZ.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think so. Because it's not a sports car.
But there's I think there's just so many of the BRZ, you know?
But I mean, how many ISs are there? There's bazillions of them.
Not compared to that car.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I don't know if this is right or not. An IS300 probably doesn't feel as sporting as a BRZ, depending where you live, or FRS, whatever you want to call it, doesn't feel as sporting. And I do feel like that car kind of fills the gap for the S chassis that Nissan.
Yeah, that's in my opinion why it's going to become a classic is because it.
Well, every single car you guys said is a classic is a sports car at this point.
Kevin, you can say an IS300 will be a future classic at some point, and I will accept that.
I was going to say ISF. Either. ISF is 100% going to be classic for sure.
That's what I was thinking. Anyway, 100%. But, okay. I don't like a world where Jerry and I align on things. Kevin, say something that we could agree on.
But why would it not be a classic? Because it's classic for me it encompasses these things. One, it's exciting. Two, it's like a special model. A special model is almost automatically gets you into the classic realm. And then three, it's like a rare or limited type of car. Right? And the ISF is the top of the chain. Yeah,
I guess to me, that's not how I'm imagining it. That almost makes sense if you're talking to me, I'm just imagining the pinnacle, nostalgia cars that people really want to have.
Right, but who are the people?
I don't know, the people you? 15 years from now or whatever we're talking
about. No, I mean, there is a lot of IS300 fans out there. And that car, I would almost argue, lately is seeing way more fanfare than it has.
I mean, somebody recently was like, yo, is the IS300 the next S13? And no, it's not I don't think it classifies, but if you think so, sure. It's not, what's the word? There's nothing special about it to make it a classic. And when you say the BRZ or whatever, the only thing special about it is that it was a sporting car. Therefore, people in the future will be like, oh, do you remember those? Those were cool when they came out because it was a new thing. You know, when the BRZ came out, it was exciting. When the IS300 came out, it was just another fucking car.
It was kind of exciting, but...
Right, but it wasn't. There wasn't anything new, or
it wasn't it wasn't definitely wasn't exciting as the FRS or whatever.
Yeah, it wasn't like a rejuvenation of a brand or
Well, it was its own new brand, so that didn't really help them. But yeah, which I always felt was really stupid.
It was
but,
called a Scion yeah. FRS before. Scion right? FRS, yeah. Yeah. That's why Scion I couldn't, dude. You can't find it on fucking World Pack. I was like Toyota FRS, and it's like no. So no. Then that's why Scion. I ordered the BRZ. The diff one. I looked up BRZ because I couldn't find an FRS.
That's funny.
Yeah, that whole Scion thing, that was a disaster.
Whatever. Yeah, they didn't really think that through. It ended up being old people liked Scion, but it was meant for young people.
That's kind of the thing, Kevin, right? Any M car, it doesn't matter what it is. Any M car is a classic because it's a special car, right? So that's kind of...
When they just put M on everything?
No, because it's not an M. They're still an M car. And then, yeah, is an M340i or an X5M going to be a classic?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be its own thing, kind of the 510, 710, 210. There's going to be the following where it's they can't afford the $100,000 genuine old school M car, but they're oh, remember these M240s? They were sick too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Listen, as a new Gerard of the podcast, I'll allow Kevin to have the IS300. I think it's found a place in a culture that's very excited about it. And I think that it will mean something to people in a few years, probably now that we're on this variation of the IS300.
Like watching Altezas sell in the States for what the Altezas are selling in the States for right now. But it's that car is going to be a classic, man.
Well, I was going to say, out of any of those cars, Kevin, the Alteza is, in my opinion, the classic.
I mean, that was the first car I said. I said the Alteza IS, but yeah.
Right. So say the Alteza. Great.
I think the Alteza will be a classic.
Yeah. We'll say Alteza then.
Alteza, I can agree with. They made a Hot Wheels of it already. It makes sense. Perfect. The new Zed, Jerry, you were a yes.
100%. All any Zed.
I don't think so.
Well, no. Listen, it's any Zed, but it's the top model of the Zed. But Zeds will be classics. All Zeds are classics. Like, name a Zed that isn't a classic, Kevin.
There was like the whole previous whatever generation, like those were classics. 300 ZX. Oh, the 300. Yeah, I guess. Okay.
The 280 ZX.
The Z31 is not a classic.
100% it is.
No one gives a Giro fuck about edition? That car, man.
That's not true at all.
That is a car that, like, if you put a lineup of cars that I don't care about, that car would be front and center. Nobody cares about that car, man. Nobody cares about that car.
That's a shitty one in my parkade.
Yeah, nobody cares about that car. It's like the Mark III Supra of the thing. Like, nobody, it's the worst of them.
But is the Mark III Supra a classic?
No, fuck the Mark III Supra.
Totally is.
Ah, fuck that car.
A twin turbo R? Okay.
Hey, no.
All right, whatever.
No, that's what I think. No, I agree. I don't think, though, I think that's a good point. I don't think the Mark III Supra is a classic. Just like maybe, you know what I mean? I don't think it did it. It didn't knock it out the park. It never reached that pinnacle. It's not that star-studded status of the other cars that were classics in the lineup.
Kevin's getting heated like I used to get heated, and I like that. Version 2 is the best.
They don't hold the same, a 280 ZX Turbo is not the same level of classic as,
280 or whatever,
it's not the same level of, but even if you did, the 260Z, those were kind of like the shade years, you know what I mean? But is a 300 ZX Twin Turbo so much better than a Z33 Nismo? No, they're kind of the same. So is the 400 going to be so much better than the Z30?
So one thing I will say is that whole FRS thing. It's there are no 400 Zeds. So does that nobody got to experience that car? Nobody's best friend's older brother had that car. I think that's part of what makes things a classic too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Is everyone got to experience it and they have joy for it and love for it. And now they want to relive it while they later in life when they could get it again. But I could count on them on two hands the amount of 400 Zeds or whatever they're called that I've seen in real life. So is a car that nobody ever got to really have and enjoy, does that proliferate into the culture enough to be a classic, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I guess my sort of threshold of classicdom is a lot.
Is it worth money more money later?
Is lower.
That, right.
Yeah. I told you, I have a certain sort of criteria.
We didn't agree on a criteria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, it's like a legacy thing that you know what I mean?
Any Zed for me will be a classic. It has to be the top model, but or a desirable model, but the car itself has so much lineage that it's automatically entered. Any M car, any Z, those cars, and basically any Supra, those cars are, to me, automatically entered. The RX-8, no, though. RX-8 fucking Zed.
That's what I mean. The RX-8 is the Mark III Supra and the Z31, you know? It's like...
But no, because, okay, hold on. Mark. The reason why the Mark III Supra is relevant is because it came with the 1JZ.
Okay, in Japan, yes, it did. Yes.
Well, I said Twin Turbo R. I didn't say fucking 7M GT bullshit. Fucking, yeah, fuck that car. Get that fucking thing out of here. I don't give a shit if they all die and burn. They're ugly. The Twin Turbo R is
so
cool.
Ugly, yeah.
The Twin Turbo R was cool. Came with Recaros, a 1JZ, and it's a twin turbo R. That's a cool ass name, man.
Just like the idea of getting Gerard wound up to make more hot takes to put on Instagram.
And it had the digital dash. I mean, Kevin's wound up.
Digital dash is sick, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. I'm saying. Yeah. And that's what one of the coolest aspects of Z31 was the interior, man. That's 100% video game Sega Genesis fucking interior. It's cool as shit, man.
Right. Kevin's just, I was just gonna say, Kevin was wound up about things that people can't really rally behind as much. Maybe they can. You just make such crazy statement. Not crazy, but the way you make a statement is, Kevin was riled up about not caring about Z31s. Oh, yeah. And it's I kind of agree. Nobody's gonna be oh, that guy doesn't like Z31s. Yeah. I also agree. No, that's not even a point to
It's raise. Not a hot take. Yeah.
It's not a hot take, but you're you just say shit and it's a hot again. Jerry, you're always like, I don't know what a hot take is. And then every fucking third thing you say is a hot take, and I appreciate it.
What's a soundbite?
Yeah, what's a soundbite, Jerry? Which brings us to our next point. VSKFs are back. If you're listening to this podcast and you follow Serial 9 on Instagram, you probably saw a clip. I got news for you. That's not from this conversation. We were testing all of our gear.
We
were doing an equipment test, and we were like, let's not talk about anything we can use in the podcast, but we are us, and we talked about the VSKFs.
Can't not
talk about the return of the VSKF, and that's where that came from. Now, I understand, and people that only saw the soundbite might be like, oh, you're only talking about the thing that was rage bait. Absolutely, we were. And that doesn't matter. We just wanted you to see us talk. So
yeah,
here we are.
Well, it worked.
It did what it needed to do. I had to learn up what copy pasta was, and here I am. So yeah. Did you know what copy pasta was?
Yeah, I know what copy pasta is.
You do? Jerry?
Yeah.
No.
No, yeah.
I did read it after, and it's like, okay, I get that other thing. But like, people are saying that, though.
Yeah, it's rage bait.
People are saying that. Like, I don't know if it all stems from that one. That's
the beauty. That's the beauty of it. It's like, it's extremely rage baity, but it definitely could be like someone's actual point, and they could have posted that. Like, remember when that guy posted about people like wearing khaki shorts at Final Bout and being unapproachable because it was like colonializing clothing or whatever? It's like, was that rage bait? Because I don't think that was rage bait, but that was that was like on the exact same level.
That was so weird. I was just like, what even level is this guy on? Like,
yeah,
it's a fucking drift event, man. Like,
yeah, I want to get on that level.
I mean, the thing is, okay, I will agree with that people do have like special fits and shit for like, I think it's funny because I like dressing, I like clothes, whatever, but I just like dress.
I like undressing personally.
No, I'm just saying, like,
this is the first time we've ever done a podcast where you guys have had shirts on, but yeah, good. Go on.
Like, I just like dressing cool, like here and there, whatever, but like, yeah, I didn't like dress up to go to Final Bowl, but apparently that's a thing. So maybe next year or whenever the fuck I go next time, I'll have to like make a special outfit to go to Final Bowl so I look like I match my car or some whatever the fuck I'm supposed to do. Like,
is that bad? That's weird. Don't do that.
I don't know. I thought it was Kevin had some crazy outfits,
but he's Kevin.
But he doesn't have have those outfits on the daily. You know what I mean?
No, but like, I've seen Kevin wear like a Thrash Racing like varsity jacket.
I just try not to wear my nice clothes to the shop because then they will get fucked. So I just wear the same stuff every day to the shop.
Kevin's got TRD Huff pants. Huffy's different.
Huff. You know, it'd be safe.
Blow your house down.
They should be Junkos.
And I just wear moon eyes everywhere. So here we are. Yeah. Anyway, that's my jam.
That's appropriate wear.
Yeah, that's what I've done. So, okay. But yeah, VSKFs are back.
They are.
I think we can all just say that we're excited about it.
100%.
I love to see anything that makes what was once an affordable hobby for enthusiasts be affordable again.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's what we're seeing. I hope to see more of it. I even love that there's a fucking weird like Timu 8.6 shell out, you know? Like, great. Have that.
Toms has released a shell as well.
Oh, this is what we need. Everyone go out and counterfeit some shit so that the original manufacturers will be like, that's my money.
There's a market. There's a market there. Yeah.
Turns out there's a weird market for this, and we neglected them. And everyone go do that.
They're bringing back the LXZ. They're bringing back Bazreas. And then Superstar, I swear, is bringing back one or two wheels as well. And then, they brought back VSKFs.
Perfect. Nothing to complain about.
I heard they're bringing back 2Js.
Yeah, we just bought a couple 2Js.
Bringing back 2Js.
Oh, hey, okay, all right. Well, let's shift gears. Why did y'all buy some 2Js?
The Price is Right, Future Proof, Never know what could happen.
Obviously, Ryan, it's for my 1.5 JZ 8 HP BMW E90. Duh.
I mean, that might be true, so I don't know.
Yeah. It's probably the... Yeah, I mean, depending on how the blick goes, it's going to be one or the other. But anyways. Hmm.
Also, it sounds like you just made your hypothetical BMW way more reliable, so good for you.
I mean, that is the plan, because it's just, yeah, I can't...
Can't look at that thing wrong. Put the quote here from about an hour ago. Yeah. Okay.
Water spraying out and
yeah.
Yeah, basically. Oil dripping, water spraying, engine lighting. It's like it might as well be a Christmas carol, for fuck's sakes.
Five blown out rings.
But you still love
it. Coolant spray. Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like every time I sit in that thing, I'm just like, holy shit, like this thing's sick. And I don't know how they do it. But, like, you literally just turn the wheel, like, 90 degrees, 45 degrees. You grab the wheel, you turn it, and you're just like, this is dope. I don't know how they do it, because I try all the things in my Toyota, and I can't get that same feeling. So, I don't know. I got to do a BMW. Let's go back to BSKFs. BSKF, man.
Are you going to get them in 5x120?
No.
Oh, because you got the 5x114 hubs.
Well, also, yeah, I wouldn't put BSKFs on my Beamer. I don't know.
Fuck, why not, buddy? Not my
deal. Yeah, why not? It's who you are as a person.
Dude, get them in all black.
If I buy VSKFs, the reason I'm buying them is because I've always wanted them, but then I didn't ever buy them because of the whole reason why now people are like, oh, they're played out and yeah, this and that. And like, I was kind of on the same thing. It's like, oh, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're so popular, this and that. But also, like, I couldn't commit to buying that old wheel and then building it and all this other shit just to be like everyone else. Whereas like all the wheels that I did buy and build or whatever are kind of like a bit more obscure. But now it's like I could just buy the brand new one that I wanted to buy like in 2010 but couldn't afford. Maybe 2010. I don't know when they came out. 2008, 2010. And now I could just buy the wheel. So I was like, well, now I just want to buy the wheel that I wanted to buy 20 years ago or whatever the hell it is, right? So
yeah, because it's a classic.
Exactly.
See, that's the
it's
thing.
It's a classic like, wheel.
You couldn't afford the thing when it was popular in the beginning, exactly. And now you're older. And
so the reason it's not going on a BMW and it will go on my Toyota is because the reason I like VSKF so much is because it back then, in like all my option magazines and all my drift mag Dory 10s and stuff, is I would see VSKFs on sedans. So like, it might not go on a sedan, but it sure as fuck going on a drift car. And like, while a BMW can be a drift car, it just doesn't have the same
while aura. A BMW also can be a sedan.
Well, okay, but I'm just saying, like, for me, it has to have the aura of the entire in its entirety of what I loved back then. So VSKF's on my Toyota drift car.
Sounds a little bit like it's a bit period correct, and then it's a bit, you know, for you, I guess. Like, there's a period in time where that was the thing to do. And
I'd like to do 1819, but I don't know.
Valeside Andrews are for sale. You heard it here first.
No, they're not for sale at all. Those are going on one of the cars. Those are going on.
Jerry's a collector now. He's not a hustler. He's a collector.
But I will say that all black one, though, like, kind of nuts, man. Kind of nuts. The all black. Like, it's something else. So many people were like, yo, fuck that wheel. That wheel's so fucking stupid. Even Ben, Third Strike Ben, he's like, yo, black wheels belong in the bin. I was like, glad to hear you say that.
BMW in your blood now, and you're all about it.
BMW love black wheel, exactly.
I don't see them in the same light, though. I don't see them in the same light, but I do know what
you see you them in care. The absence of light. Is that what black anyway, sorry.
that's an absolute truth.
Hard wheels to photograph, Jerry. Just consider
100%, 100%.
Especially we know because a good you photographer. Love white. Yeah, but you love white cars. Well, Dylan's busy that day. So.
Well, also, there's none of my car. None of the cars are going to be white. None of them are going to be. White.
Not a chance. What have you done with Jerry? Okay, we've all grown here as a people. Like I said, it's exciting to see, Kevin. I don't think VSKFs are ever been in your lane.
We talked about that. It's like I'm stoked that they're back, like for all the reasons you are, but like I'm not clamoring about it.
Mm. Part of me, I think, was very excited. That's a stupid way. That's not a thing that gets me very excited. I was like amused that they were coming back, enthused maybe. Yeah. And I thought like, yeah, maybe if I ever, you know, switch cars, VSKF, but it will be actually very interesting to see how this plays out now that they're readily available. Does everyone get them? Do people not?
I mean, you still got to buy the fucking things. You know what I mean?
They're not. Do you have to buy them? But they're way more affordable, and they do have like a clout to them. It'll be interesting to see what actually happens. We'll say in like a year from now. I would like to check back in and be like, what's the status of the VSKFs? Is it still sought after, or is it like, fuck that wheel?
Yeah. How is the stock doing?
Yes. I appreciated people's honesty on the post that you made, and it was like, that's a chip foos wheel, and I was like, yo, I forgot.
I was gonna say, for me, like when you said like there's a certain clout attached to them, like I don't know if I ever, so that whole thing, I feel like I want to say my vision, if you will, like how I look at those, like I don't see that like with like Blitz 03s and VSKFs and all that. Like, I don't think that, like, oh, because you have VSKFs, like, you are somehow more wheel worthy than, like, the next guy. It's like, you just chose that wheel and spent money to build it. Like, that, I don't know if that really makes you special, because it's still, at the end of the day, it's a fucking VSKF. And, like, while I love them, it's not like a unique wheel. And it's, like, because you styled a VSKF or you sized a VSKF or you put whatever VSKFs on your car, that doesn't make your car like special, because it's anybody could be like, oh, those wheels, those are the popular ones. Yeah. Yeah. I'll get those. Just get the good size. Right. Yeah. Like 4-inch lips. So then you get them, you put them on your car. That doesn't make you special. Like Kevin's wheels like are crazy. Like nobody has those wheels. Like I fucking don't like them, but like they're crazy.
And, lots
like,
of people have those wheels, but yeah. But no. Same thing. I don't know. You can just
at the end of the day, no,
you can just buy them.
No, same, but I'm saying
same
no,
thing.
I can, you take 100 people, man. Fucking 4 people will know what those wheels are called. Your sellbacks?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it's the same thing. You go on VR wheels or whatever, and you're like, yo, like those are cool. Like, yo, I'm gonna get those, and like, you know, I need them to be this size. Like,
no, I don't. I mean, it's not the same thing, man. It's not the same thing. Because if you're searching like stanced out drift car, you look at fucking 20 pictures, you'll probably find 5 that have VSKS. You're not going to find a single fucking car that has sellbacks. You're probably not going to find a car that has Andrews, Valeside Andrews. You know what I mean? Like an extremely unpopular
wheel. I mean, there's that, the teal IS at Final Boat also has sellbacks. Like,
okay, but man, you're talking about like an extremely narrow focus, you know what I'm saying? Like in the grand scheme of like the car world and in the grand scheme of people that are buying and building and looking at VSKFs, like out of,
I'm not denying the VSKFs are more popular by any way, like,
but I'm saying that they're not like, yeah, there's no clout attached to them because of the fact that they're like a, let's call it basic wheel, you know what I mean?
I'd like, say there's more clout attached to them than there's clout attached to my wheel, though. Or your wheel. The Andrews, even.
Right. Looking from a regular person's point of view, yes, you're absolutely right. But I'm talking about my point of view and, like, perhaps, like, a point of view of a person that, like, sees through all that shit.
You know what I mean? That's why we don't buy the wheel when it's expensive, because, you know... No.
Yeah, it's like for me to spend $5,000 on a KF is like not the same as me spending $5,000 on MAEs or Andrews. You know what I mean? Like you're spending money to be unique, not to be the same. So that's why.
Yeah, I mean the MAEs, I don't totally agree with you on that, but yeah, like the Andrews.
I mean, they also weren't $5,000, but like still,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Jerry, I think from your perspective, you're talking about it from someone that lived through it, and you're probably not looking at the perspective of people that aren't you and they see the thing.
Yeah, and also I feel like Gerard has the mentality of trying to not follow the crowd all the time anyway. So it's like if everyone's veering towards this one thing, Gerard's going to like veer the opposite way.
The thing that I've always appreciated and I like kind of sticks with me is the one time or numerous times we've talked about wheels. You've said like there's whole other catalogs of wheels that exist that people could be out there exploring, but they limit themselves to this view of what's been presented to them in the culture or the media. And
yeah, and like with that said, how Kevin was like, oh, like Gerard's gonna veer the other way when shit's popular or whatever, it's like I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't veer the other way, I just try to try harder, you know what I mean? It's like kind of like with the VSKFs, like I steered away from them for that kind of a little bit stupid mentality of like, oh, they're popular and like they're this and they're that, but like I've always loved them and I've always wanted a set, but I like basically like forced myself to get other. It's kind of the same thing as a JZX 100. It's like I've always kind of wanted one, but like then I wouldn't get it because that was like the popular one, but like in my car infancy, that's the car I wanted, but like I ended up with this fucking wagon 110.
When I put the 100s on the V, you put the VSKFs on the 100 and you've achieved pure unity.
True, but see, that's the thing is I can't do that. I
that's why I was like, you gotta get rid of the Andrews, you know?
No, but that's
what and I'm they saying. Would fit the fenders better.
I wouldn't do that though. I wouldn't. Because
that's already been done so many times.
Well, that's what I mean. Like me, and that's why. Like honestly, that's why that black wheel is so interesting to me.
You like them? They're interesting, and I think we can just put a pin in it. I think we're all happy. The variations that are out there are interesting. There's no reason to be scared of the past or the future, and people should embrace it. I think that's.
People were showing photos where the spoke sort of comes to the lip. The design is a bit different.
It's different,
and they don't offer it in a chrome face this time.
Yeah, they're not chrome.
So,
but I was gonna say everyone's gonna get the like. I mean, I wanted chrome, but the thing is, yeah, I think they have a bunch of other finishes. But I guarantee you, like 99% of the people are gonna buy the top three finishes or whatever, and probably zero people are gonna buy an all black fucking VS.
Yeah, this is the world that we live in. This is, you know, this is why when I walk into a department store, you can buy a T-shirt that has an NSX on it, or you know, like it's just the.
But I'm saying, like that might be kind of a thing. Like you take a wheel that is extremely popular and cloudy, and you take a fucking really weird, fucked up version of it, and then you present it in a manner that's like absolutely like surprising, and nobody thought could be possibly cool, but you can make it cool. Maybe that's. That's the
You're move, saying
you
know? Take it in a colorway that probably doesn't get made a lot. So when it's the hype is all over, the rarity of it, and then eventually in 5 years from now, people will be like, I didn't get that wheel on that finish. It's super rare. You take it on the antique roadshow and the guy tells you it's like,
nobody's going to be want it. I mean, honestly, like all those wheels are fucking weird. Like,
you don't know though, because honestly, I think if we've learned anything, the only thing that this really takes is like one person somewhere that has a following or people that are is to be like, this is it. There's no way if I built a time machine and traveled back in time and told you all the shit that is going to happen, and then been like, and also the Blitzo 3s is going to be like a fucking rare wheel. That would be the thing you'd have the hardest thing believing. Everything else, you'd be like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But, be like, but Gerard. Like,
people are buying these sets of wheels for $15,000.
And you would be so mad. Imagine you 10 years ago or
no, you just 15 buy them all
years
then.
Ago. You'd be like, the fuck? No way. No, he'd be so mad about it. Anyway.
It's
so but,
weird. Like, even back then, I never liked those wheels. It's crazy.
Well, and even now you
don't. I can't believe how popular they are. I can't.
Because that is the way this culture permeates, and that's what is happening.
Somebody's saying the exact same thing about KFs, so.
Sure. Yeah, they are. Lots of people are. People like didn't like them then, don't like them now, but that's people that have been around for a long time. They never crossed my radar, but I'm a simple man with simple tastes. Okay, finally. We've talked about all of our opinions on these things. Those were meant to be quick hitters. We turned it into a whole episode. Hey, it is 2025. What are both of you looking forward to in this coming year? What are things that we can be looking to? And
the growth of Serial 9.
What does that mean?
Sorry, go on.
As a tail end of this podcast,
Yeah.
What can fans of Serial 9 expect to see from the company?
Hey, you said fans, bro. You said fans. Customers. When I called them fans, you all laughed at me.
Oh, that was because you called them fans at Final Bout when he's like, and the fans up there saw me.
The fans saw me wipe out.
I don't think I laughed, Ryan.
No, we both laughed. Because we were like, probably not. Also, they're not my fans. You were calling them your fans.
No, I just said fans generally because fans sit in the fucking bleachers. That's what they do. They're called fans, aren't they not? Like this. You're like they're wrong. A fan of drifting.
Patrons.
Just in the way that you presented it, it just sounded like you were like, and the fans saw me like, and it was like, your fans are disappointed by the maneuver you did. Not like drifting fans, probably I wasn't living up to their expectations. I disappointed my fans. Yeah, I disappointed my fans. They won't thrust me up on their shoulders and carry me out of here singing We Are the Champions. You know, anyway.
I want to get the Gatorade bath.
Yeah, I would argue if people are listening to this podcast, there's probably people that would say I'm a fan of Serial 9 products and the things that they do and their endeavors.
Some of the endeavors that we plan on embarking in 2025 are we're definitely going to Japan. That's happening 100% for sure in the late spring. So that's exciting. Gerard and I both have never been. So that's super exciting. I talked previously. We have some projects. Gerard's got a project car. Gerard's got two project cars. I got two project cars. We're hoping to campaign a third project car, sort of sprinkle that in a different way, kind of creative way to do that. Gerard and I are going to have our meeting tomorrow about our marketing plan for this year, but we had talked about trying to do car shows across the U.S. By engaging with some of our awesome customers,
fans.
Our awesome fans and customers, and perhaps having their car in our booth.
Stop clicking that thing when you're talking.
I'm sorry. I'm fidgeting so hard with it. How about you take over?
Okay. So, we plan to basically attend car shows away from us. So we would basically be far away, like Florida, California, I don't know where else, maybe like Riverside, Chattanooga was always one that sort of jumped out at me. But I was also thinking Poland, but that's a different thing. So we go there, we find some cool cars in the area, and then we put up a booth and stuff. And then if your car has a bunch of Serial 9 parts in it, then you would maybe, you know, be in the booth or something. So that'd be kind of cool.
It feels like we're going to release more parts in 2025. New parts than we have ever before. Feels like our shipping times are going to be shorter in 2025 than they ever have before. Feels like there's a lot of positives coming for the customers in 2025.
In case maybe you guys care, we had a really great 2024. A lot of growth for Serial 9. A lot of internal changes have made it a lot easier for us to do a lot better and be better for you guys. So like Kevin said, new products, better shipping times. As you guys probably know, we have a better website. Everything is more efficient. We're getting more people, so we have a better team. So 2025 is looking really awesome for us. So,
hey, that sounds great. I'm glad that everything's on the up and up for everyone. I'm glad you guys are out there living your best life. And I think is it a 3-month hiatus? We're all caught up, so we can just go on another 3-month hiatus. No. We're going to try to keep doing this on a more regular basis. We're really excited to be back. That being said, the show always works great when the fans, as Jerry calls them, reach out with questions, comments, or concerns. We appreciate that. Give us something to talk about. Or if you have a suggestion of someone we can talk to, that would be greatly appreciated. I just want to say thanks for listening. If it's your first time listening, thanks for doing that. And if you're coming back to hear the 101st episode of, or version 2, episode 1, welcome home. Yeah, until next time.
Thanks for joining us.
Peace out. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.